It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
The pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quanto Solas, the first one for 2017. Happy New Year. I am here in this freezing cold studio with my sidekick, Al, who is over there manipulating all the buzz.
Keeping quiet.
Keeping quiet. He's there keeping quiet. So, the next two Quanto, what we're going to do is going to make some prophecies. So, in a year's time, if they don't happen, then you can come and stone us. Just some issues
stone
that I think...
You.
Stone me. Yeah, absolutely. Just some issues that we think are really quite significant. And I'm sorry, I hate these kind of list things, but I'm going to give you a list of 10, and I've also written it down on the blog. So let's start with no particular order. We'll start with number one. I think that what happens to the Queen this year will be important. She will be 91. Over Christmas and New Year, she missed two services because of a heavy cold. Partly I've been thinking about this because I've been watching the wonderful Netflix series, The Queen. But it does strike me that she is a woman who largely holds a great deal of the UK together. And if she disappears, I think Britain without the Queen will be a much less stable place. And I am reminded that those of us who are Christians are commanded, first of all, to pray for kings and queens and politicians and those in authority, that we may live peaceable and godly life. So, let's remember the Queen. Number two, the nation of Israel. The actions of the Obama administration at the end of 2017 towards Israel and the slapdown that followed from Theresa May do concern me, as does the growing anti-Semitism in the UK, in Scotland, in America, and in Europe. Now, here's the problem. When you look at what Obama did in terms of the settlements, at one level, it just makes perfect sense in one context. But there is a different context, and the context is this. There are millions and millions of people who want to see Israel obliterated. And there are 5 million people in Israel surrounded largely by those millions of people who want to see them obliterated. And to me, it's extraordinary that it still survives. And whatever your particular view of Zionism or the land of Israel or whatever, there is no question at all that there is a biblical and strong support for the Jews. And we need to pray for the Jewish people. And the church must renew its obligation to pray for the peace of Israel. Some of you know that I am in the church of Robert Murray McShane. He prayed 1 hour per day for the Jewish people. And this year, 2017, is the anniversary of the Balfour Declaration, and doubtless we'll be hearing more about that, out of which the modern state of Israel was founded. It is not without significance.
Don't panic! Don't panic!
We're doomed.
Number three.
No, be quiet, traitor.
We're entombed. Entombed.
Brexit will be blamed for everything. It's cold. Must be Brexit's fault. I didn't enjoy my food. Must be Brexit's fault. It's just unbelievable. Post-truth politics will continue from those who actually decry it. There's kind of doomsday immersions everywhere. Doom, doom. We're all doomed.
We're doomed.
I think the EU is going to be fascinating this coming year for lots of reasons. Firstly, there are elections that are coming in France and in the Netherlands, and in Germany.
None of us are ever going to have a happy, normal relationship.
We're doomed.
Yeah.
There will be a rise in right-wing populism. It's possible that Le Pen even could be elected, but will certainly have a major influence.
We're doomed!
I think that Greece will continue to struggle with the austerity measures that have been forced upon them.
Doomed, I told you!
And perhaps the one to watch most of all is Italy. Because if Italy does go down in terms of its economy, that is going to be, in my view, the end of the EU.
We're doomed!
Doomed! Doomed!
Number four. Big emphasis last year. We talked about this a lot, the war against humanity. And in particular, we're talking there about remaking humanity in terms of gender and sexuality. The whole series that we did after our conference on the reimagining of humanity. My view is that polygamy, prostitution, and paedophilia will be the next changes to be proposed. Polygamy is already on its way. Prostitution, it's very interesting how language has changed. We no longer have prostitutes, we have sex workers. We have the more militant, secular, atheistic societies campaigning for sex work to be legalized. Unbelievable, really. And then already this year, we've had child prostitution legalized in California. You have minors, which is under 18s in California. If they're engaged in prostitution, they can't be prosecuted for it. Now, some people are saying, no, it hasn't been. It's a means of protecting the young people. No, if you decriminalize, yes, you say that your intention is to protect the victims, but you are going to increase it. Because then you can get away with it, basically. You decide to do it on your own initiative. You can get away with it. It's the same reason as if you decriminalize robbery, you can expect it to increase. If you decriminalize speeding, you can expect it to increase because that's human nature. Given the criteria that the elites in our society have adopted, there is, of course, no reason why none of these things, any of these things, should not go ahead. So we want the criteria to be changed. The transgender fad. This continues. This afternoon, after I've recorded this, I'll be getting a phone call from a newspaper who wants to talk about the book that's to be put into primary schools throughout the United Kingdom, advising that teachers should no longer use the words he and she. I'm sorry, this is not April the 1st. This is actually happening. I've been contacted over the Christmas holidays and the New Year holidays by numerous people, parents, teachers and others, who are deeply concerned about what is going on. A lot of this comes actually, I knew it came from the advocates of queer theory, but I hadn't realised that it was the feminist Simone de Beauvoir who first coined this idea of gender being a social construct. And by the way, that is a wholly unprovable, unscientific, sexual stroke political philosophy. And it's going to do incredible harm. It is a war against humanity, and we do pray about that. And we'll continue to give the many examples of it that doubtless we will face over this coming year. Number 5, Islam and Islamophobia will continue to be confused. Now, there are honourable exceptions to this, but the majority of Western liberals cannot cope with Islam because they have to assume in their philosophy that all religions are fundamentally the same. And therefore, they are opening up the doors for the more extreme right-wing groups. Even this week, hardly reported at all in the British media, there was a Austrian Christian woman who was killed by a Muslim refugee to the country who saw her reading the Bible and was offended by it. Now, of course, the vast majority of refugees are not like that. In fact, certainly the vast majority of Muslims are not like that. But every atrocity is immediately met by our politicians saying Islam is a religion of peace, whilst Islamist terrorists can commit these atrocities across Europe, Africa, Asia, and the Middle East. And the problem there is, when they want to crack down on this, they then feel that in order to be fair, they have to crack down on other things. And so you're getting Ofsted and others talking about Christian schools being cells of potential fundamentalism. You know, these Christian extremists, the ones who believe that marriage is between a man and a woman or that God created the earth, they're hardly just a step away from being suicide bombers, are they? That really is the level at which our society has become really, really confused. And until we learn to think straight about Islam and stop confusing criticism of Islam with this greatly exaggerated danger of Islamophobia, then we're going to be in trouble. Number 6.
My agenda will be based on a simple core principle, putting America first.
Donald Trump will be inaugurated as president. He'll continue to tweet. I don't think he's coming off Twitter anytime soon. He will continue to shock and he will continue to appoint billionaires to clean up the swamp.
Drain the swamp.
And also, hopefully, let's just say prayerfully, he will appoint good people to be his advisors and to be his chief administrators and so on. Now, I've been looking at some of the people you've appointed, and one or two you raise your eyebrow and go, oh dear, what's happening here? But others you look at and you go, well, yeah, there's great potential here. So I think with Mr. Trump, as with all politicians, we're generous people. We'll give him the benefit of the doubt and see what happens. But I do hope that any of our Christian friends who think that he's the Messiah or a servant of the Messiah will quickly get over that illusion, or you're going to find yourself very strongly disillusioned. I hope that his actions or the actions of his appointees will be wiser than his words.
And I mean everyone.
Number 7, British politics. The Tories will thrive. The Lib Dems recover as they paint themselves as the pro-EU party, and Labour are in deep, deep trouble. The Tories are in a strong position, and so far, Theresa May seems to be a capable leader. Lots of noise about her, but she seems just to be getting on with it. Labour's on the ropes because the Islington set who run the party, or who did run the party, have just lost connection with the working class who used to be their core. And unless they sort out their EU stuff very soon, then they're going to find themselves hammered by UKIP, which is really saying something because UKIP are a mess. The Lib Dems will continue to sell themselves as the party of the progressive pro-EU liberals, which will work to some degree, but I doubt there are enough uni lecturers or teachers to earn them the seats that they would need. And I'll go out on a limb here. Everyone else is predicting that the SNP is going to take over Scotland's councils, and therefore they will be in power in Westminster. Power in Westminster in terms of Scotland anyway. They'll be in power in the Scottish Parliament, and they will now have the last bastion, the cities and the councils. Now, I think that that's probably not actually going to happen. I think a lot of the councils will end up being hung councils. I think that the Tory revival will continue. I think the SNP will almost certainly take over in the West, in the urban West, in Glasgow and so on. But here's the problem. The SNP is suffering from hubris. There's an authoritarian, anti-democratic tendency, such as the refusal to let any of its politicians disagree with any party policy. And it has become the victim of its own success in attracting new members. I know a number of SNP people who will say this privately, but not publicly. They're concerned about the career politicians and the liberal progressives who've no real interest in independence or Scotland being an independent country. But they've come into the party and are using it to push their own agenda and further their own careers. And I think they're in huge danger of alienating their core support, which is why I will make a pretty solid prediction. You can get me back on this one. There will not be an Indy Rev in 2017, and I doubt in 2018. I think that it's going to be ironic that the SNP, which will remain by far the largest party, will be the cause of a Tory revival in Scotland.
Okay, we've got some breaking news coming to us here. He passed away peacefully at home.
Right, number 8. Sorry, bit of a mournful note. Celebrities will die. By the way, listen, please. 2016 did nothing. Oh, I'm glad to be out of 2016. 2016, what have you done to us? 2016 is just a measurement of time. People die. And especially, you know, when celebrities get older, and now we've got so many of them, that is going to happen more and more. Celebrities will die in 2017. 55 million people around that will die throughout the world. All of us made in the image of God. Most of us, 99.999% of us, not celebrities. I think you'll find that the media will eulogize those they have previously demonized and remember those they had forgotten for many years. And the sad thing for me is the church will go along with this and find some vague connection with Christianity to each and every one, no matter their beliefs.
Saying he had to fight his demons.
Number 9, automation will continue apace. This is one of the big trends that kind of happens without us really noticing. But it seems as though the era of the driverless car, for example, is very near to us. Now, when that happens, what happens if we get driverless lorries or driverless ships? Millions of jobs will be lost. Will new ones be created? Will we move from a society where people earn their income through work to people being granted a minimal income through the state, whilst those who own the machines rake in the billions? There has been a tendency over the past decade or so, a couple of decades actually, for in Western liberal consumerist capitalist society, for there to be an increasing gap between rich and poor. Actually, I think that's also true in capitalist stroke communist China. But those who own the means of production, those who own the media, those who own the educational institutions will prosper. And those who don't will experience increasing poverty. Number 10, censorship will become stronger. The elites got their fingers badly burned in 2016. If these experts had known what was going to happen, I doubt we would have been offered the vote. I think the elites will attempt to control things by limiting the power of democracy, by seeking to regain control of the media, and in particular, censoring the internet. If Google, Facebook, and other corporate internet giants don't self-censor, as Facebook are trying to do for China already, then the governments will find a way, and they will do so in the name of countering post-truth. They don't trust us to think and to make up our own minds, and maybe they're partly right, because they don't. We don't get taught to think anymore. We just get presented with stuff. How ironic that our society, where our elites have been teaching us there's no such thing as truth, are now complaining about post-truth. Those are my prediction. Unless there's a renewal of Christianity in the West, this is the direction we are heading. The rejection of Christianity has led and will continue to lead to an increasing gap between rich and poor. I do think freedom of religion is the big issue. It is the root of all our freedoms. And as this continues to be undermined by a secularist elite who cannot abide the notion that any philosophy but their own should exist, we should expect that other freedoms, such as freedom of the press and freedom of politics, will also be increasingly weakened. That's what I'm thinking for 2017. Let me know your predictions. Next week, we're going to have a look at 10 prophecies for the church. And we do again at Solas wish you a happy new year, and we pray for the Lord to be present and working amongst us all. God bless you.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand, because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it, or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens, trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness, and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky, or die in this society, hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.